we'll just start off. I just wanted to ask you to introduce yourself for us.
Yeah, so I'm Michael Fields. I'm the executive director of a group called Colorado Rising State Action.
Great. So thank you for being with us. We're going to be discussing Proposition 117, but some background that's always worthwhile when talking about politics in Colorado. TABOR, or the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, in short, means that government spending is subject to approval by voters in Colorado. It's a controversial law, and since its inception, there's been a number of actions to either dismantle the law's reach or to reinforce it. Liberals tend to say that it limits funding for important services, and conservatives defend the law, saying it protects citizens from fiscal overreach, which is what your group, Colorado Rising Action, is trying to do. Is that all a fair summation of what we're working with here?
Yeah, and I think there's multiple parts of our Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and some of them are more popular than others.
Sure, and we can definitely get into that. So, Initiative 117, can you give us your elevator pitch? Tell us what it's all about.
Yeah, so basically what we do is strengthen our Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. We have a case where we get to vote on tax increases, and legislators are saying that, what if we call it a fee, we can get around it. And so basically what we're able to do in this ballot issue is to say any new big state fee that would be $100 million or more, that voters would have to approve it. And so we think giving voters more of a say in this process is a good thing.
So this initiative dealing, as you said, is specifically with enterprises over $100 million. What are some of the enterprises that, if this law had already been implemented in Colorado, that voters would have gotten an opportunity to vote on? Give us some examples, both if you would. Perhaps give us some examples, both of some ones that you might consider less harmful, and then others that may have led to problems that are leading to you proposing or supporting Proposition 117.
So I think when enterprises started, they were really good in that the fact that things that fell outside of TABOR were things like our university system, parks, the parks that we have across the state, the lottery, things that shouldn't be counted in our TABOR limit. And there was legitimate reasons for those. As we've moved along and as time has gone on, legislators have seen this as an opportunity to add things that I think are should be up to a vote of the people. And that started with our car registration. Faster fees went up in 2009 significantly, and we didn't have a say on that. You also have something called the hospital provider fee, where we get a tax or a fee on when we stay in the hospital. And this was without voter approval. And basically they're talking about doing more and more of these. Just this last year, they passed another one where 1 million Coloradans have higher health insurance. There's a fee on our health insurance in order to pay for a program that they wanted at the Capitol. I just think that voters should have a say on if they're going to be charged hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. Other ones that they've talked about are a family leave proposal that ended up on the ballot this year, but they talked about doing it without it, a gas fee. They've also talked about a carbon fee. So this is just a route that they're going to keep going and doing things that, are a lot more look like a tax than parks or universities.
So the Colorado Association of School Boards, or CASB as it's known, has opposed this initiative because they say it will harm the funding of school districts throughout the state. Education funding has been problematic for years, and CASB says this measure will further stress the state budget. How do you answer to that?
Yeah, I just don't agree. I don't think this has anything to do with education dollars coming in. Our education budget, a vast majority of it comes from our general fund, which is not an enterprise, federal funds, which would not be touched by this, and local property taxes, which wouldn't be touched by this either. And so I would just disagree that this would have any impact on education and the education budget. Obviously, I think what they might be getting towards is things that the legislature might want to do outside of those things that they want to, do an enterprise and really tax people for that, might be harder for them to do. But I would again say that this is up to the people in order to decide. In our current system, you can argue if there's enough education spending or not enough, but I do think that should go to a vote of the people.
Surely the state's response to the coronavirus is something that can easily cost more than $100 million. Would this law allow for emergency enterprises that can't wait for the next election?
So, you know, with Corona, for example, we got federal funds from the federal government. This would not touch that. Federal funds are totally outside of this, so that wouldn't be the case. And, you know, there's a lot of mechanisms that Tabor even allows for emergency increases in taxes, which was discussed even this year at the Capitol, and then, you know, going to voters later because you need something in an emergency. So this wouldn't touch the tools that the state government has now in order to deal with emergencies.
Well, and you mentioned that it would not block federal funds, but of course, you know, I've done a lot of reporting on how the coronavirus is being dealt with, and I've heard very little about federal agencies or a federal response at all here. In fact, all the testing that is done in Gunnison County are sent to state laboratories. I mean, is this, you know, I mean, we are sort of thinking about coronavirus as a good example, but, you know, I guess I am sort of wondering if this does provide an opportunity for something to be quickly set up that might be very expensive. We, of course, know now that that could occur.
Well, I was, you know, referencing something like the CARES Act, where a lot of money came to states in order to deal with, you know, the problems that came along with Corona. I think I haven't heard of anything that where an enterprise needed to be set up quickly that was $100 million or more in order to deal with something that couldn't be dealt with through our taxing mechanisms with Tabor. And so I don't think that that would actually be an issue at all. And really enterprises have not been used to deal with any emergencies in Colorado that I know of.
Another COVID related question, a group called Protect Colorado's Recovery has registered to oppose Initiative 117. We are in a financial hole following the pandemic. Still in the midst of the pandemic. Is this the right time for this initiative?
Oh, I think it's absolutely the right time, given that we are in economic trouble. You know, we're in the middle of heading into a recession, a serious recession. And I think this is the time when you don't want government taxing or using fees in order to make that recovery even worse. I think that people, are obviously people are out of work or they're struggling to make ends meet. And when that happens, we need as much money as possible in their pockets in order to fuel a recovery that will end up helping revenue jump back, whether that's on the local level or the state level. And so I think this is the exact time to make sure that there are protections for taxpayers, whether that is this ballot issue or other mechanisms that can help protect taxpayers.
This bill and the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights in general places a lot of confidence in Colorado voters. Do we trust our entire state's electorate to be informed and up for performing this task? And before you answer, let me just say that this is one of those instances where you could say, you know, no politician is ever going to lose an election by saying, yes, of course, our electorate is up for the task. They're the smartest, most well-informed public of, you know, all the 50 states. Is there hard evidence, and not just anecdotal evidence, that Colorado's electorate is up to the task?
I mean, I think, you know, I don't know if there's a study out to show how informed certain electorates are. I actually think Colorado would be higher than others, given that we do have so much stuff on the ballot. They're used to reading their blue book and, you know, delving into issues a little bit more. But I would argue, is the legislature equipped to, you know, make decisions on how much money we're taxed? I think when it comes down to it, our legislature goes to the Capitol. They do over 500 bills every year. They are plenty busy. And all we do with the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights is say, you know what, if you want more of our money, a higher percentage, you want to increase taxes, you want to grow government, you have to make a case to us and say what it's going to be for, or you know, make a case on why you need this additional money. And I think it's worked pretty well for us, you know, up until now. We have a lot of local tax increases and mill levy increases that pass, but on the state level, people are more skeptical, and I think for good reason. You know, there's complaints about our transportation infrastructure, but legislators don't put more money towards it or significant enough in order to fix it. And so, I think it's a good process. We're just talking about when people You know, when they want to grow government, when they want more of our taxes. And I think Tabor, over the 26, 27 year history of it, we have the number one economy right now. And I think a large part of that is we haven't increased taxes like other states have and chased people out of our state.
So, and I appreciate that answer. And I would just say that I think that there are ways to assess how well equipped an electorate is. For instance, I mean, what percentage of Colorado voters are reading the blue book that's sent out every year? What percentage of the population votes to begin with? What percentage of those who are voting are just going to be voting down party lines? How well does money spent on political campaigns predict the winner of that campaign? I don't know if anybody has necessarily looked into these things. I'm wondering if you have, as a way of considering, you know, if, again, if the Colorado voters in general are up for this power to make all these decisions.
Well, there's a couple things I would say on that. One is that we are in the top five in terms of voter turnout, which I think is a good thing. And obviously, you know, mail-in ballots have increased that number for us. I think, too, you know, there aren't necessarily defined on issues. There's not just my party told me to. I mean, obviously Democrats lean one way on some stuff, Republicans lean the other, but you'll see ballot issues, you know, where people will vote against their party because they just differ on that specific issue. And I think a lot of times on ballot issues, the side with the most money doesn't win. In fact, I would argue that they almost lose even more than they win. And I think that also shows people aren't just taking whatever's in a TV ad and just saying, yeah, I'm going to go with along with whatever they say. I do think that we have a deliberative electorate. And I would also argue that, you know, when it comes to either trusting legislators who always want, tend to always want more of your money, or you picking and choosing and saying, I want it for this and I want it for that. And I think they're doing a good job. I think it's a good check and balance on the overall system.
So, Michael, here in Gunnison County, we tend to vote Democratic. Do you think that you will get enough support in Gunnison County, or do you think you'll get support here? And how would you garner more support here in Gunnison County?
Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned, you know, you could have an area that votes all Republican or all Democrat, and on issues, they'll pick and choose. And I think that part of Tabor that we're talking about, where you get to vote on tax increases, even wins with Democrats. Slightly, and you know, even more with independents or unaffiliated, and then even more with Republicans. But Democrats across the state, including Governor Polis, support that part of Tabor where we get to vote on tax increases. All we're saying is if you're going to have a big fee, a new fee, a state fee, that we're going to have, you know, you weigh in as a voter. And so I think there's a good chance that we do well across the state and including in Gunnison County. But I think the key for us is bringing that message everywhere and doing mailers and digital ads and different, you know, outreach, voter contact, and not taking anybody for granted and not saying anybody's off the table when it comes to weighing in on you know, voter approval for big fees or taxes.
Michael Fields is the director of Colorado Rising Action, and he's talking to us today about Proposition 117. Michael, I don't have any more questions for you. Thank you for answering all of mine. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you later.